Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hi, everybody. This is Carl Walsh and Saving Seniors. And this is a very exciting start of the new year. You may have noticed in January there wasn't a show. I had COVID, of all things, which I never had before up to this point. So I consider this our New Year's show, and we want to talk about today financial planning for 2024. And I have none other than an esteemed financial planner, Maureen Brosnan, a certified financial planner, and she's got an incredible background. Maureen has over 30 years' experience working at a global consulting firm, Accenture, which we've all heard of, an esteemed company, where she was managing director. And she ran a leading practice focused on human resource and financial technology solutions. And she worked out of the Boston office, and she specialized in financial services industries, particularly insurance and banking. And after retiring from Accenture, Maureen pursued a second career, helping others to create a successful financial future, which is why, really, she's on today. We want to catch all her words of wisdom. And she earned her certified financial planning from Boston, Boston University specifically. And Maureen's a licensed investment advisor representative as well. She helps her clients specifically plan career transitions, and many of us as seniors are in transition, and a financially secure retirement. So with no further ado, I'd like to welcome Maureen. Thank you, Maureen, for coming by.
Thank you so much, Carl. Thank you for the very nice introduction. I'm pleased as well to be with Roman Retirement Planning. We're actually out of Cape Cod, but we do serve clients throughout the United States, including many of my clients are from California.
Which is great news for us.
Yeah. We have three types of clients, Carl. And we use a nautical theme coming from Cape Cod, Massachusetts. We have clients that are younger investors under 40. We call that our launch program. We have another program called SAIL, which is focused on investors from 40 to 55, and sometimes they need help not only with investing but also financial planning. And then we have our cruise clients, which are ages 55 and above, so people that are planning for retirement are already in retirement, which I assume is many folks in your audience.
Yes, that's our group here, but strangely all sorts of people listen, so yes.
Right. And we'll be tackling financial planning across all ages, so that's good.
Yes, that's great.
Yeah.
And
I think, Carl,
yes,
you had asked me to talk about what kind of activities should one do at the beginning of the year, mm-hmm, to really help them on their finances and moving towards a successful financial future. And so I thought I would just start with three questions that actually go back to my consulting days, but it absolutely applies to your finances. And the first question is, where am I? Second, where do I want to go? And thirdly, how do I get there? And so I thought I'd start off with the first question, which applies to everyone. Where am I? So as far as that first question, where am I, it's so important to really take a snapshot at the beginning of each year as to where you stand financially by putting together what we like to call a net worth statement. And that's where you list out all of your assets. So, for example, bank accounts, stocks that you might own, bonds that you own. Perhaps you own a home. So putting all those assets together and then subtracting out everything that you owe. So that could be school loans, credit cards, your mortgage. And then the resulting number is your net worth. And what I've found, Carl, is that you get what you inspect. And if you're often stepping back and looking at your net worth, it often creates behaviors that help to grow that net worth over time.
Could you clarify that? I'm sorry to interrupt. You get what you inspect. I love that because I have my own picture of what you're talking about. But you were probably going to delve further, but that catches my attention.
Yeah, because if you're not looking at it, it's like if you don't know what road you're taking, it doesn't really matter how you get there. Mm-hmm. It's the same with your finances. So really understanding where you are today exactly, it will, by inspecting it, and I actually recommend looking at it at least once a quarter, looking at your net worth. What I found is absolutely helps you make decisions to save more or to perhaps not buy that extra car right now, which will help you, again, improve your net worth.
And do you have templates that you give your clients to plug and chug, so to speak, or are you using, let's say, I forget, there's some of the software, something pro and money.
Yes.
So you have your own. Yes. But,
yes.
Yeah.
We use a tool called eMoney.
Yes.
Which I think is really a fabulous way of putting together all of your financials.
Mm-hmm.
But if for clients that don't have tools such as eMoney, even a simple spreadsheet in Excel can be used to create your net worth. And for those who aren't computer savvy, certainly even on paper, it could be something that's very useful to do.
Mm. Yeah.
The other interesting thing, Carl, is there are a lot of apps in the market that work on your smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
That you can use for budgeting and also tracking your net worth. So that might be worth folks looking into. And they're lower cost than a tool like eMoney.
Yeah, eMoney is a professional software, which is pretty expensive, but it's very in-depth. And
right. It's for professional planners like myself.
So don't try this at home.
Yeah. But there are apps that you can use on your phone that are really helpful.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. I'll interject just myself. I actually do a monthly total every month. You know, I just basically take month-end statements. And but when you talk about goals, it's funny. I don't think I have a real goal other than never touch my principal. Which is
that's a great goal if you can do it.
That's the family. I grew up with that expression, never touch the principal. So other than that, I was sort of thinking, I was reflecting when you were going through this, that I don't really have any goals necessarily other than net profit every year and save as much as I can. I don't think that's such a great, it's a good idea, but does that sound a little too vague?
It doesn't. And, when we look at that, where do I want to be? That's where you set your goals. And for some of our clients, they do have very specific goals as they're building their wealth. Like, I would like to buy a house.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to send my children to college without having to take out student loans. I would like to retire comfortably. Those are all important goals. And I bet you had those goals along the way, Carl.
Yes.
And then for seniors, I think there are other goals, like I would like to, enjoy my money while I'm still alive.
Mm-hmm.
Or I want to maximize the legacy for my children. I want to give as much to my children as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And another goal could be I want to make sure that I have money for as long as I live.
Mm-hmm.
And, perhaps I come from a very hearty with hardy genetics, and I'm concerned I might live to 100. I want to make sure I have enough to live on for the rest of my life.
So
those are some other goals.
Isn't that the worry? It's no longer, I'm afraid I'm going to die. No, it's I'm afraid I'm going to live too long.
Exactly, Carl. Yep.
Yeah, that's the fear.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So setting those goals are really important. Again, something to do at the beginning of the year. So we've talked about where am I, where do I want to be?
And how do you get there?
Sorry?
How do you get there?
How do you get there? Exactly. And that's oftentimes looking at things like, how much do I need to save? Am I saving enough towards my financial goals?
Mm-hmm.
It could be, am I invested properly and really looking to see, are my investments aligned with my risk tolerance? The other thing that is interesting is every year, and this is why it's good to look at the beginning of the year, every year, typically, the government increases the amount that you're allowed to save in your 401k
mm-hmm.
or in your IRAs. And this year, Carl, for 401ks, the government has increased the contribution limit to
$23,000.
Mm-hmm. And if you're over 50, you can contribute another $7,500.
Mm-hmm.
For IRAs now, the contribution limit is $7,000, and if you're over 50, you can contribute another
$1,000.
Mm. So it's nice to see you being able to take advantage of those types of retirement accounts.
And I know you deal in all sorts of financial products, and not to get too far in the weeds, but so I've had some life insurance friends who say, well, keep in mind 401k, you know, my father, when he started, had forced withdrawal from it because it's, I believe, 72 or so, you need to take it out. Then, in fact, his tax bracket was higher when he got older than it was younger. Do you have any thoughts about other products to put money aside in?
That's an excellent question, Carl. What we really like to see for our clients who are nearing retirement is, and in retirement, is the benefit of having multiple buckets for their money. So certainly having 401k or IRAs, which are retirement accounts where that money is all taxable when it comes out, but also having Roth IRA accounts where the money is where you take the money out in advance for taxes, and that all is non-taxable in terms of the income. And thirdly, a very effective another approach is brokerage accounts with, you know, brokerage firms that you're all familiar with. So if you have those three buckets, it gives you a lot of flexibility in terms of where you get your income to balance out those that tax.
Well, how does the brokerage account? Because I was sort of assuming things would be in stocks to begin with, but so that's. Because if a brokerage account appreciates, you know, you'll be taxed on the appreciation, right? So
only if you sell, Carl.
Right.
So if you're one explain of those that investors that buys and holds,
mm-hmm.
You only pay taxes relative to that brokerage account for what you sell. But if you don't sell those equities or funds, for example, you only get taxed on dividends.
And isn't that a lower tax bracket dividends?
Yeah. Or, mm-hmm.
You don't happen to know that offhand just for fun and...
Well, it depends on the... So for dividends, generally for anything that you sell out of your brokerage account, if you've had it for more than a year, you mm-hmm. would have capital gains.
Mm-hmm.
And you could get long-term capital gains if you've had it for over a year, which typically is in a lower tax bracket than your income.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you have dividends, it actually would be taxed at income rate.
Oh, it would. I thought I don't know why, but I thought when there was a tax legislation years ago that dividends had a lower tax to it, but I might.
Not that I remember.
No, you do know. I don't know. I'm just being, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. And then there's Social Security, of course, would be another source of income over time once you've saved these three buckets.
Exactly. Social Security. And then for a lot of my clients, too, really enjoy having guaranteed income
mm-hmm.
in addition to their Social Security. So many of my clients will also look at annuities.
Yes.
As an option.
And that's gotten so much more sophisticated now, hasn't it? In the past, it was one size fits all, and now you can, you know, start withdrawing your money earlier than you did in the past. You can actually take all the money out at, and you did in the unlike what you could do in the past. Is that true? There's different.
Yeah, there are different options. I often believe simpler is better when it comes to annuities. And, you know, what we recommend is really looking at annuities for the income that is guaranteed to keep it simple and most cost effective.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, there's so many. And also, you know, you shed light on things and, you know, you're going to see the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we need to do that. We need to just face our financial situation as is, which goes back to your very initial point. Where am I?
Exactly.
So that's huge progress that'll beat an enormous percentage of most people, just to be able to take an honest look at your finances.
Right. And there's no time like the present, Carl.
Yes.
You go look at it.
And 2024, here we are. What about seniors, particularly of a mature portfolio, and let's say somebody hasn't been doing the planning that they've should have been doing. Maybe, you know, the kids are finally out of the house, and maybe they helped a grandchild with some education money, and here they are. And what does, let's say, a 60-year-old do if they want to catch up a little? And you mentioned that you can do some greater contributions. That may be a hard question, because they should have been doing this 30 years prior.
Each person, but I think that's why that, where am I, and where do I want to go, and how do I get there? That's where perhaps people haven't, you know, they're say they're 50 years old or even 60 year old, and they haven't saved enough. There's no time like the present again.
Yes.
And so even if you haven't saved enough, try to increase the savings rate, you know, your savings rate, to try to catch up if you can. And then also looking at options like, how can I increase my income?
Right.
The time to take on some extra hours or even another gig.
Right.
To help build up that those savings for retirement.
Right. Because there's two parts of an income statement, isn't there? We talked about the balance sheet, but there's an income statement, income and expenses. So there's only so far you can cut, you know, getting down to eating beans and never driving anywhere. Or you can increase revenue, which tends to be a better way to go.
Right. And another good thing to look at the beginning of the year is, do I need any extra training to help me be even more effective or attractive in the job market so I can increase my income?
That's great. Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Really sort of shake yourself. And also, I believe staying working is great for longevity. So, you know, we're all tired at some point in life and we think we want to retire, but retirement isn't always great for health reasons. It's not saying you could change your new chapter in your life, so we won't call it retiring meaning you sit on the couch, but retiring meaning you switch occupations, but you can make maybe a same amount of money you were making before. Or
absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think it all depends on what kind of work we do. For some jobs that are very physically demanding, there is just a point where retirement is necessary.
Right.
But for other types of jobs, you know, the Boston College does retirement research, and they have done research that says if you continue to work in an engaging field where you, you know, get positive feedback from your career, that longevity is improved.
Huh. That's so interesting. You know, my grandfather kept working till he was 93, probably 92 and a half, and then he died at 93.
And, I'd love to hear that.
Yes. And he owned a Ford dealership, and he used to walk the bays, you know, of the mechanics bays. And, you know, he was always getting out on his feet. You know, he wasn't just sitting all day. And they would secretly repair his cars, when he would come in and like crash into a post or something. But he lived to the end. And my uncle too, his son, lived to 95, and he used to go to the office every day at 7 a.m. and get excited. So
that is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And I believe you can get excited about, even if you don't think this is your passion, the job, there's passion within jobs. So,
yep.
Yeah,
just
all
serving
of
serving others can be rewarding.
Yes.
Even in a retail environment. Yeah. And, you know, what I like to think about when you retire is not just am I retiring, but what am I retiring to?
Mm.
And that's where you can think about maybe I could do something that perhaps isn't as challenging as my job today, but something that would be rewarding.
Right.
And maybe continue to provide some income.
That's perfect. Well, you know, we've come to the end of this first segment. And maybe when we get back, we could talk about evaluating your budget and income needs, you know, at the beginning of the year. Because we talked about where am I, and we can talk about evaluating. So with that in mind, we're going to duck out for a commercial break, and then we'll be back. Hold on tight. Carl Walsh with Maureen Brosnan, and CFP, Certified Financial Planner. Hold on tight. See you in a minute.
If you're 62 or older, you can access the equity in your home without a mortgage payment. An FHA reverse mortgage is risk-free because it is fully insured by HUD. So, if you need money for living or medical expenses, emergencies, home improvement, or even travel, consider an FHA reverse mortgage. It even comes with a line of credit that gives you interest on the portion you don't use. Call Carl Walsh now to see what your options are to put cash back in your pocket. Call 310-612-0124. That's 310-612-0124.
The 1,200,000 women and men of Rotary have accomplished extraordinary things. They've taught millions of people to read, worked toward world peace, and have nearly eradicated a crippling childhood disease from the face of the planet. But each of those 1,200,000 women and men know they could accomplish so much more if only they were 1,200,000 and one. Find out what an impact one person can make. Learn about Rotary at Rotary.org.
A proprietary reverse mortgage is for those of us who are 55 and older who have equity in our homes that we would like to use now rather than later. Need cash? Instead of getting a higher interest rate by refinancing your current mortgage, find out how a proprietary reverse mortgage can act as your separate line of credit with no payments. That's right, no payments. And you can even get a lump sum of money up to $4 million depending on your home's equity. To find out more, call Carl now at 310-612-0124. 310-612-0124.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death! ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everybody. Carl Walsh here, Saving Seniors. I'm with Maureen Brosnan, a certified financial planner with decades of experience in the finance industry and now as a certified financial planner. So welcome back, Maureen.
Thank you, Carl.
Now we sort of have an outline of what we need to do, but for your clients, what about evaluating their budgets and income needs at the beginning of this year? We've talked about that a bit. Could you elaborate further?
That is such a good topic because so much of your financial future depends on living within your means.
and spending less than you make.
Yes.
So that that really requires understanding how much income do I have coming in and budgeting so that I spend less than I make and I have enough left over that I can save appropriately for retirement, a house, or whatever your goals are. And so what I typically recommend for my clients is that they, in order to do a budget for the first time, that they track their expenses over the last 3 months.
Mm.
Really getting a sense of their spending pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And then really stepping back and looking at, based on the total level of spending, what's the true goal that they would like to see, and then tweak their spending categories as necessary. So perhaps I really I value eating healthy foods. So maybe my groceries can be higher than some other expense, but perhaps I want to spend less on entertainment. Perhaps I can cut back on some of my subscriptions, for example,
mm-hmm.
Which can sneak up on all of us. So really stepping back and looking at my spending categories, it is awfully beneficial to have a budgeting tool to help you. It could be as simple as an Excel spreadsheet, or there are a lot of apps in the market right now that can help you with budgeting. I do recommend that.
Is there any apps that off the top of your head sort of come to mind? I know you don't really deal with apps because you have this elaborate, very in-depth, you know, Money Guide Pro, I believe. Oh, you said eMoney, right? eMoney you use.
Yeah, and that's for professional financial planners.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you just go onto YouTube and look for budgeting tools, you're going to find a number of reviews for budgeting tools that are available in the market. So I don't have any one in particular to recommend. But
that's a great idea because they demonstrate them on YouTube. So my first thought was, oh, go Google it. No, go on YouTube where they'll demonstrate an actual financial planning
Right, and you can hear from actual users of that budgeting app, you know, the pros and cons.
Right, right.
Some are really sophisticated in that once you set a budgeting category and you say, I'm only going to spend, let's say, $1,000 on groceries, once you hit that dollar amount, it won't let you spend any more on that category.
That's funny.
And that's called an envelope system, which for those of us who remember perhaps their grandma and grandpa and how they budgeted, they may have used an envelope system. So
right.
Now that's being automated.
Right. And, you know, that brings to mind, for some people who have a spending problem, you know, a more detailed way to describe it is you're sort of unconscious, which goes back to our very first thing about where am I today. This is all about, this is really an awareness course, but in finance. So they said, okay, don't use your credit card, don't use your debit card, only spend cash. So the envelope theory. So you put in an envelope, and that way you see it too. You know, swiping a card makes things it's so opaque and abstract.
Right.
You're just swiping a piece of plastic. It feels like nothing. But if you're pulling it out of and counting the money and you see the little, your wad decrease, what better reminder than that, right?
Yeah, and some people still use budget, you know, the envelope system very successfully.
Mm-hmm.
But those of you who perhaps don't want to use envelopes, you can do it on a smartphone app. So that's sort of the latest in budgeting tools.
Ah, yeah. That's interesting. I personally, you know, I don't go too unconscious on this, just personally. It's just, these are personal things. So I like to save money with a credit card that gives me money for groceries, as an example. So I'm getting it. But anyway, keep going. I interrupted you.
Yeah, so what I will say is for, you know, budgeting, it's really kind of creating the budgeting muscle. So it takes practice, and it's not going to be perfect. It could take, you know, a few months, even up to a year, to effectively be able to manage to a budget, but it's worth it because it absolutely helps you meet those goals that we talked about earlier. Now, I think where it gets to be hard is when you have variable income.
Mm.
So if you are self-employed, or if you're like in the entertainment industry where you work on projects, it gets much more of a struggle to budget appropriately, because you're not sure how much income you're going to have from month to month. And so it is important to think about, what's that absolutely minimum budget that I need to live on when I don't have money coming in, and then budgeting towards that.
Right, right. And, you know, as I'm going to interject my personal things in here. I was in the forward mortgage business before, and now I'm exclusively reverse mortgages, but I realized during low interest rate periods, our income would go up, and during high interest rate periods, our income would dramatically drop. So
right.
I always lived assuming that we're in a higher interest rate period. That was easier for me. Entertainment, there are no cycles. So I'm struggling how an entertainer would do it. But you have entertainment clients, don't you?
Yes, I do. And especially the strike was very hard. And so now the budget becomes very important for these clients to get back on their feet. But also, it taught us the importance of that emergency fund.
Yes.
Where I tuck away a number of months of my budget and have that in the bank for times when perhaps my income has to stop for a period of time.
Yes. Yes. Yep. Yeah.
And we recommend that for everyone.
Yes. And I don't know what the right formula is, but, you know, is there a formula per industry, like, 6 months set aside, 12 months, 18 months, 24 months, 36 months?
Yeah, so the sort of the rule of thumb is 3 to 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
But for those folks that are in self-employed or perhaps work in industries like entertainment, that's where it makes sense to save at least 6 months, if not more.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I'd have night sweats. I remember in forward mortgages, and I never used that term till I got in the reverse business. In other words, normal mortgages people get in their home. Lenders usually only required 3 months PITI or 6 months PITI, principal, interest, taxes, insurance. If that's all I had left, I'd have night sweats and I would never buy a house. You know, I couldn't even imagine that. But so that's a great way to leave it. We're going to take a little break and then we're going to come back, and maybe you could touch on the topic of long-term care, because I know you deal with that as well as seniors get on in age, and you plan for it, because you're in the financial planning business, emphasis on the planning. So if you'll hold on tight, Maureen, and again, I'm on with Maureen Brosnan, certified financial planner, who has clients all across the country and is giving us advice for 2024. I'm Carl Walsh, Saving Seniors. Hold on.
A proprietary reverse mortgage is for those of us who are 55 and older who have equity in our homes that we would like to use now rather than later. Need cash? Instead of getting a higher interest rate by refinancing your current mortgage, find out how a proprietary reverse mortgage can act as your separate line of credit with no payments. That's right, no payments. And you can even get a lump sum of money up to $4 million depending on your home's equity. To find out more, call Carl now at 310-612-0124. 310-612-0124.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
If you're 62 or older, you can access the equity in your home without a mortgage payment. An FHA reverse mortgage is risk-free because it is fully insured by HUD. So, if you need money for living or medical expenses, emergencies, home improvement, or even travel, consider an FHA reverse mortgage. It even comes with a line of credit that gives you interest on the portion you don't use. Call Carl Walsh now to see what your options are. to put cash back in your pocket. Call 310-612-0124. That's 310-612-0124.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everyone. Carl Walsh here, Saving Seniors with Maureen Brosnan, Certified Financial Planner. And we left off last time talking about, planning for the evaluating your budget and income needs at the beginning of 2024. And when we were chatting off the air, you mentioned you were going to be more specific about dividends.
Yes. Thank you very much, Carl. So when we last talked, we talked about how dividends are taxed. I just wanted to provide clarification. So if you have non-qualified dividends, so those are for dividends on, say, mutual funds that you've held less than 60 days, it's taxed as normal income. So like any income that you would make. However, if you have a qualified dividend where you've held that mutual funds or stock, for example, it's taxed based on capital gains rate. And that capital gain rate will depend on your income level, but it's generally less expensive than your, a general income.
Does that capital gains, I know the federal, I'm not talking about state, but does the federal capital gains depend on your income?
It depends.
I realize I'm asking you tax questions, which is unfair, but go ahead. Sorry.
Yes. Yes. And so depending on your taxable income, you could get taxed at, say, 0%, 15%, or 20%.
Okay, got it. All right. And, I also I jumped ahead because I want to make our last segment on long-term care. But before we get there, maybe you could talk about some guaranteed income you have through Social Security and pensions and things like that and IRAs that, including inherited IRAs. Maybe people are probably interested in that. Could you make more?
Yep, that's great.
Drill down on that?
One of the things we talked about, we talked about activities at the beginning of the year, and one really important activity for people that are nearing retirement or in retirement is to really assess their income and how they're going to generate income for the year. And so you really start by looking at what is my guaranteed income sources. And that's typically your Social Security. It'd be looking at any pensions that you might be eligible for and also any annuities that you own. So we call that guaranteed income. And ideally it'd be wonderful if the guaranteed income covered your mandatory expenses. That's sort of the ideal state. Then you want to look at, for my IRAs, how much money do I need to take to satisfy my required minimum distributions, or RMDs? And so you need to understand that as well. And then you look at the total between my guaranteed income and my RMDs, and you have to look at, is that sufficient to satisfy my income needs? If it's not, then you would need to look at your alternative assets and how much income you can generate from those assets. So that could be savings. It could be investment accounts, brokerage accounts, Roth IRAs.
Reverse mortgages?
Sorry?
Reverse mortgages?
And reverse mortgages.
Yes.
So there are many cases where people are rich, but not necessarily as rich when it comes to their investment account. And so that's another source that people can look to generate income. And it's become more and more common for people to use reverse mortgages if they are eligible as a way to generate income in retirement.
Yes, and did you finish your thought? I was about to...
Yep.
Okay. It's funny you're talking about this the way you're talking about it, because it's exact. Because we work with financial planners to do reverse mortgages, And many times it's just to make the portfolio, because many of the clients we have, sometimes they're really desperate and need, you know, the house is going to be the only thing that keeps them above water with a reverse mortgage. But other times it's about financial planning, and they have the old steadfast don't touch principle. And so they're living, you know, on bread and water, metaphorically, euphemistically, not actually. But, and the financial planner is sort of coaxing them, saying, you know, you have to live, enjoy life a little, just, you know, and a reverse, either, you know, access your portfolio, which is a taxable event, or use, I mean, most of these people who I'm talking about in this very moment have no mortgage on their house at the time. So, and the kids are okay with it. They give you, please, you know, get a line of credit with a reverse mortgage on your house. No payments are necessary. So that's my shameless plug. Those are the type of clients that I oftentimes run into. And it's basically brought them financial freedom. So
I really like that. And, you know, when we talked about for seniors thinking about what's most important to you, a legacy for your children, perhaps having money in case I live a very long life. But another one is living life to the fullest while I can. And that's where, I think that's what you're getting at, Carl, with the reverse mortgage, tapping into that so you have some extra money so that you can spend a little more perhaps and enjoy.
And,
enjoy your life.
People like Wade Fow, a famous financial advisor, has talked about you can have a greater legacy for your children by not using your stock portfolio and using a reverse mortgage. So it's not either or. And the reason is, Sachs and Sachs, these fellows did a study. It's a peer-reviewed study that appeared in Financial Planners. This might be interesting, and if you read it or you can look into it, December of 2021, they published a peer-reviewed study of a greater legacy left by using reverse mortgages, and that means when the market goes down, use your reverse mortgage line of credit, and when the market goes up, you use your portfolio.
Interesting.
And you sort of balance it between the two, and in the end, there's a greater balance sheet left for your children. So,
I'll have to look into that. That sounds interesting.
Yes.
And I am also a fan of Wade Fowles.
Yes. You know, it's not either or. I don't pound my drums and say reverse mortgage is the way to go. It's only right for certain narrow situations, and that's where I've found my second chapter in life. Back to, you know, you can do something different than the 24/7 of forward mortgages. So,
sounds good.
So the guaranteed income, we mentioned annuities. And you like to keep it simple, you said, with annuities?
Yes, I like to look at buying an annuity for the guaranteed income stream. And shop around. Don't go to just one insurance salesperson and get one quote. It's really beneficial to get multiple quotes to look at that guaranteed income stream.
And sometimes it's confusing, so you can maybe guide your clients through it. Let's say that you're looking at three different types that are different in their own ways. You could explain it to them and make sure no facts are omitted, which sometimes salesmen can forget. So, yeah, that's important. So, good. We've hit that topic, and I wanted to do it. Now, in our next segment, we will touch on long-term care. We're going to take a break again and enter into our final eight-minute segment. I'm here with Maureen Brosnan, certified financial planner, and we'll be back. I'm Carl Walsh, Saving Seniors.
If you're 62 or older, you can access the equity in your home without a mortgage payment. An FHA reverse mortgage is risk-free because it is fully insured by HUD. So, if you need money for living or medical expenses, emergencies, home improvement, or even travel, consider an FHA reverse mortgage. It even comes with a line of credit that gives you interest on the portion you don't use. Call Carl Walsh now to see what your options are to put cash back in your pocket. Call 310-612-0124. That's 310-612-0124.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
A proprietary reverse mortgage is for those of us who are 55 and older who have equity in our homes that we would like to use now rather than later. Need cash? Instead of getting a higher interest rate by refinancing your current mortgage, find out how a proprietary reverse mortgage can act as your separate line of credit with no payments. That's right, no payments. And you can even get a lump sum of money up to $4 million depending on your home's equity. To find out more, call Carl now at 310-612-0124. 310-612-0124.
The 1,200,000 women and men of Rotary have accomplished extraordinary things. They've taught millions of people to read, worked toward world peace, and have nearly eradicated a crippling childhood disease from the face of the planet. But each of those 1,200,000 women and men know they could accomplish so much more if only they were 1,200,001. Find out what an impact one person can make. Learn about Rotary at Rotary.org.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Hi, everybody. Carl Walsh, Saving Seniors. And we're lucky here today to have Maureen Brosnan, certified financial planner, who deals with clients all over the country, including California, where we are. So, Maureen, talk to us about long-term care, and because that's always a fear, that we don't just neatly pass away at the end of our lives, that sometimes we might need some long-term care.
Yeah, this is another really good topic to think about at the beginning of the year, especially for seniors. And it's especially important to me right now, just watching what's happening with my own mother, who is in a long-term care situation, so it's very real to me right now. But something that we incorporate into all of our financial plans. And when we think about long-term care, we're thinking about costs like in-home care, assisted living, which would include memory care, or skilled nursing. And you know, when you think about funding those costs, they can get very expensive, Carl.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Very expensive.
I've heard numbers.
So,
crazy.
Yeah. And, they can range from, let's say, $5,000 a month all the way up to $15,000 a month in terms of cost. So it's something that can be, have such an impact on your financial wellness, particularly if you're part of a couple where one of the couple is the caregiver and the other couple is the one who's receiving this long-term care. And the concern is ensuring that that caregiving spouse is really prepared and will continue to be financially sustained in the future. And so I think it's really a good time to step back and think about, you know, what could this potentially cost in my area? And so we often recommend, doing a search on what typical costs are in your particular geographic area. I know California is very expensive.
Mm.
And then looking at how might I fund this? So do I have savings or investments that I could set aside and tag for long-term care expenses? really looking at, do I have long-term care insurance? And this is something you typically look at buying in your early 50s, if possible. And then you could also look at, you know, what if I'm in a situation where I have to rely on Medicaid and I have to spend down my assets? Mm-hmm. I'm really starting to think about that ahead of time and be prepared, especially if there's a risk that that surviving spouse could be impacted. So it's something that, you know, takes some work to really think through. There is no one right answer for everyone, and everyone has different circumstances. But it is something that you really have to be very thoughtful about. And going back to our previous discussion, Carl, reverse mortgages can be another solution for long-term care.
Mm.
So, for example, for clients that have a lot of equity in their home, and, you know, you could potentially look at a reverse mortgage as a way to tap into that equity to pay for long-term care expenses. And I know you're the expert in this, but I think that the caregiver could potentially stay in the home, you know, even with that reverse mortgage.
Yeah, and that's – I actually had a client – that we finished in November or December, I can't recall, were down to their last shekels in, you know, doing long-term care expenses. So they were spending $10,000 a month out in a very middle-class area out in the desert here called Thousand Palms. And if it weren't for the reverse mortgage, they would have had to sell the house and move somewhere. So the senior was able to stay in the home. Now, she also had dementia. Fortunately, there was a power of attorney prior to the dementia, which is one of the requirements of reverse, but it really saved the day. It was closer than I would like to the, you know, the cash problem, but we just did it in the nick of time. So, yikes, I saw it firsthand. And the expense, and this was not a luxurious stay-at-home nursing situation. So I saw that number, and that's a wild expense for a very modest situation. Yikes.
And it's good to start thinking about this while you're still, you know, mentally astute.
Yes.
And so if there's a risk that this kind of, you know, these expenses will come, and almost a risk for most of us, I would think, it's good to start thinking about it while you still have, you know, are strong financially. So not waiting until your 80s to have these kind of discussions.
And how, I know some life insurance policies have it. Some are specifically long-term care. I mean, is it even possible to do it late in life? I know the premiums are expensive, but can you get long-term care?
You can, but it's very expensive. So I did a quote for a client that was 74 years old,
mm-hmm.
and it was cost prohibitive, and they decided to fund it themselves. The earlier that you look at it, the better. People really do appreciate a combined life insurance and long-term care policy called hybrid, and I think that sometimes can be very cost-effective and leave a legacy for a spouse or a family. And so I would definitely encourage people to look into the hybrid policies. What I would recommend
mm-hmm.
is looking for policies where you can pay it over a period of time, say 10 years.
Yes.
So that you're not faced with having that premium in your 80s.
Yes. And you can do the math on it. Okay, you pay X premium and you're going to get X results. You know, X sort of payout, I guess, would be the way to put it.
Right.
So this is incredible, Maureen. Did you finish your thought? Sorry.
No, I just want to say for my father, who does own a long-term care policy, it really has helped out with mom.
Yes. And did it cover everything, or
does it
fall short?
No, absolutely did not.
Yeah.
No, unfortunately, but it's a big help.
Yes. Yes. Yikes. And it's tax-free, isn't it? Payout on it?
And it's considered a you know, a medical expense.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be part of a tax deduction. The other thing is you can deduct your actual premium, part of your premiums on your taxes.
I see. Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, we're going to wrap it up here, and I so appreciate you coming in. How do people get in touch with you? If because this is there's been a lot of we've touched on a lot of subjects, and somebody may want to get more in-depth information from you.
Great. So what I recommend is going to our website, RomanRetirementPlanning.com, and you can look for me and either call into our office or schedule a meeting directly with me on our website.
Oh, that's great. I've been on the website, too. It's really has some great information. So I know I'm going to let you go, and then I'll give a disclaimer your firm requires here, and we also give a disclaimer in the beginning that this is, well, basically, I'll do it now. This is information on the broadcast. It's general information purposes only. It doesn't constitute accounting or legal or tax advice or other professional advice. Listeners should not act upon the content or information found here without first seeking appropriate advice from an accountant, financial planner, a lawyer, or other professional. So, but the reason I'm so privileged, the depth of experience you have in finance and economics and planning has just been spectacular. So, Maureen comes from a rich financial background, and we're so glad to have you, and thank you so much, Maureen, for taking time out to meet with us.
Thank you for having me, Carl.
You're welcome. And we'll see everybody on the next show.